Thanks for joining us. This is a special episode because we need to talk about Apple. There's a lot that is happening there right now. Apple's push into mixed reality will take years to be paid off, but the company is also hoping that devices that follows this mixed reality can actually be seeing the same trajectory as its other products, especially some wearables like the smartwatch as well as the AirPods. There is a conversation on what happened last week. This is because there was a gathering that happened in San Jose, California, at the Apple's headquarters. There were about 100 highest ranking executives that went to the Steve Jobs Theater in Cupertino. And the group known as the Top 100 was reportedly there to see Apple's most important new product in years, which is the mixed reality headset. The device was demonstrated for the Top 100 group, marking a key journey and a key milestone for the company's headset's public debut that is planned for June this year. Mark Gurman of Bloomberg reported that it was reportedly an opportunity for the mixed reality team to see the leaders of Apple to understand better about some of the impact that it has on its current flagship products, including that of iPhone, iPad, Mac, and Apple Watch. These are the current developments that is currently happening right now. But what is also important is that the so-called Top 100 has gotten a peek at the headset. And Apple's technology development group, the team behind the mixed reality initiative, has so-called discreetly shown the product to the company's top decision makers every year since 2018. So this is the fifth year in running. And this time, however, according to Mark Gurman of Bloomberg, it is different. Earlier demonstrations does show that they were lower key affairs meant to show progress and secure the headcount needed to keep going. Having said that, because of the current layoffs that is currently happening at the tech sector, we're looking at tens of thousands being laid off by key companies in the tech sector, including that of, say, for instance, Amazon, Meta, Alphabet and more. Apple, however, is staving off these massive layoffs and is trying to look at cost-cutting concerns and how they can actually save cost in order for them to not do that layoff. That, of course, is quite critical because Apple, in a way, needs all hands on deck in order for them to push through some of their revolutionary products moving forward, especially the mixed reality products, so to speak. Now, there is also that idea of Apple Pay, say, for instance, making landings in various countries, especially in countries where they don't normally have a strong foothold. For instance, in South Korea, this is also important because Apple Pay does finally arrive in South Korea after several years of negotiations. In fact, there are a lot of ideas on how Apple is intending to continue on rolling out these services or service products in all these other areas as well. Now, Apple is set out also to develop the iOS 17. And according to some reports, the original thinking was to allow it to be a so-called a tune-up release, one that is focused more on fixing bugs and improving performance rather than adding new features. And this is, of course, not entirely new. Every few years on a major announcement of an iOS release, they do introduce tune-ups rather than full feature introductions. Then, of course, we need to look at how Apple is going to try to improve on their presence in China. And this is following Tim Cook's return to Beijing to attend a so-called high-profile China Development Forum amid continued tensions that is happening not just geopolitically, but within the region as well. And of course, when Tim Cook attended the event, Apple and China, according to Tim Cook, grew together. This is a statement coming in from Tim Cook's speech. And of course, this is spoken amid the US-China trade war forcing, in a way, or prompting Apple to diversify its production capacity. And of course, when Tim Cook says on stage that Apple and China has grown together, the discussion on how the technology and education at the China was showcased last week, Tim Cook highlighted that the company's concerns about the abuse of technology, given the rise of recent strides in artificial intelligence and augmented reality, was being discussed. And he says that because of this so-called symbiotic kind of relationship between China and Apple, Apple thus intends to continue on increasing spending on its rural education program in China up to $15 million or 100 million yuan. And of course, Tim Cook added that it was important for children to hone both their coding and critical thinking skills using the Apple education program. There's a lot that can be said when it comes to the Apple event that might not take place in April, but the June event is near certainty because of the WWDC. So there's a lot of these kind of engagements or products that are currently happening, that is currently happening there. Okay, when we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll discuss about the M2 product, especially the Mac Mini that is carrying the M2 chip. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back. I am Ibrahim Sani. We need to talk about the Mac Mini carrying the M2 chip. I've had the pleasure to experience the M2 chip, and I was benchmarking that against this particular model, which is running on the 64 gig. What I had was the M2 Pro chip, and of course running at 16 gig, and the results were actually comparable. We need to talk about the product that is currently being launched, that has been launched in January 2023. And some of the key features, of course, include the Apple M2 chip. The M2, of course, takes the Mac Mini experience even further with the next-gen CPU and GPU. It has a faster neural engine, a much higher memory bandwidth, and a much more powerful media engine for a really breathtaking performance. Comparing against this particular machine, it is quite comparable when we developed, we produced or edited videos, and the export is also quite fast. So even at running an M1 Pro chip at 64 gig, the speed is actually quite comparable to the M2 chip, M2 Pro 16 gig. So M2 Pro 16 gig versus the M1 Pro 64 gig is about the same when it comes to editing videos as well as, of course, audio is actually quite fast, but video editing is quite fast. So that really does put the M2 performance at that level. Of course, handling multitasks, I opened up to 100 apps, to be frank, running across all the machine. It got hung a while there, but running at about 20 apps simultaneously, it was quite okay. So nobody runs about 100 apps altogether at one go, but people do run at 10 apps or at least 20 apps or at least 10 apps at one go. That is not a problem for the Apple M2 chip. Moving forward for the Apple M2 Pro chip, the scales of the M2 architecture with twice the memory bandwidth, up to 32 gigabyte of unified memory and up to 12 CPU cores, delivers pro performance for the Mac Mini for the first time. We've seen how the pro performance actually exists for all the other laptop products of theirs, especially the MacBook Pro products. But of course, this does take the M2 Pro performance for the Mac Mini for the first time to another level. It was really, really brilliant. And the fact that the form factor is actually quite small is actually quite good. For a person like me, where I use a lot of Thunderbolt ports, a lot of USB ports as well for some of our input-output device, including that of an old version of a rather good microphone that allows me to access all the ports quite easily with no extension needed. That is quite a refreshing experience, because this machine that I have in front of me is actually quite good, but I need all the adapters there as well. We're looking at four Thunderbolt ports. two USB-A ports, one HDMI port, headphone jack, and Ethernet that provides connectivity. I don't know whether people still use Ethernet, but if you want to use it, there is a port for that as well. The Wi-Fi 6E and Bluetooth 5.3 does provide fast wireless connectivity, but in Malaysia, as we all know, 5G is a big problem, and we are going to not enjoy that Wi-Fi 6E moving forward, at least for the near future. But the machine has it. Whenever whenever Malaysia launches the 5G en masse, I guess then we can perhaps use that Wi-Fi 6E. The compact design does provide that whole great form factor. It sits nicely on your desk and it can be used quite well. And of course, all this wraps up that whole ultimate desktop experience. And of course, if you pair this with the monitor, so-called the studio display and other magic accessories, it does turn that workspace into that whole productivity and creativity to another level. I have been so much creative the past 1 week or so, having the studio display and all the other magic products in front of me, running along with the Mac Mini Pro. It was really, really interesting there as well. And of course, we need to talk about the Apple M2 per se, because what Apple has advertised is that it runs on 18% faster CPU GPU performance, 18% faster CPU performance, and up to 35% faster GPU performance, and up to 40% faster machine learning performance. But that is on the, if you compare it against the M1 base model. So, like I said, this machine in front of me runs on 64 gig M1 Pro. So that is not the kind of comparable kind of performance that you want to do, I suppose. But I just wanted to see really how good that machine does, I think, as in the Mac Mini does. This one cost me, I don't know, would cost somebody about 15,000 ringgit up to 20,000 ringgit. That Mac Mini Pro will cost a buyer anywhere between 3,000 and 5,000 ringgit. So if you get that kind of comparable performance at one third the price or a quarter of the price, then it's really value for money. And when you talk about the M2 chip per se, not the M2 Pro, when you have 8-core CPU, 10-core GPU, and up to 24GB unified memory, running at about 100GB memory bandwidth, it does provide that whole experience of fast performance at base level. And if you check out the store right now, it comes at about 2,000 plus ringgit. That is an unbelievable price for that kind of performance. An unbelievable price for that kind of performance. And you don't really need a studio display that will cost you thousands of ringgit. You can just use any monitor that you can, you know, scrounge around the house. But the machine itself is really, really remarkable. And that is just the M2 chip. We haven't even touched the M2 Pro yet. The M2 Pro has up to 12-core CPU, up to 19-core GPU, up to 16 or 32 gig unified memory. That machine is actually quite closer to this machine. And if running at about 3,500 ringgit, it's really, really fast for a really, really cheap product. And according to Apple, for the M2 Pro chip, we're looking at up to 1.9 times faster CPU and up to 2.6 times faster GPU and up to 40% times faster ML performance. Okay, we'll go for one more break. When we come back, we'll discuss a bit better about my own user experience in terms of using the Mac Mini. Welcome back. All right, now we move on to the subjectivity test, I suppose, because when I was using the Mac Mini, the first thing that I realized was that how small it is and how beautiful it sits on my desktop. I cannot carry it around, I get that, I have this. But at the same time, when you talk about the smooth handoff feature of the iOS ecosystem, it works like a charm. In fact, quoting the late Steve Jobs, it just works. And that's the beauty of it. When I want to be a little bit more productive and I have intense work, I have the 64 gig M1 Pro right in front of me where I can work. For me to review, for me to do quick analysis and perhaps do some quick editing, I go back to my house and do that work on the Mac Mini Pro. That is the key feature there. Another element is the fact that there's a lot of input-output outlets. When you have all these four Thunderbolt 4 inlets, HDMI, and perhaps the USB-A port, too, actually. That was quite a refreshing start for me, because when you work at home, especially when you work in an area where you don't necessarily have that many place to put your input-output devices and your jacks and all the other connectivity like adapters, you really want like a clean outlay for your desk. So my desk is actually quite very clean now. Another area that I felt quite interesting is that I don't normally touch my MacBook Pro at all when I'm at home, considering that everything I need to do I could do on the Mac Mini right now. And when you have that kind of I guess delineation between having a Mac Mini and you can do work there, and any other heavy duty stuff that can be carried forward by a MacBook Pro, that allows me the kind of convenience that I was looking for the longest of time. For me, it is a clear winner when it comes to trying to choose for the next purchase that you might think of. And if you want to enter the Mac ecosystem for the first time ever, it is a no-brainer. Get the Mac Mini. It really is that beautiful. Catch you in the next one.